الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty, All Powerful, All Wise, All Knowing, Creator and Maker of the Universe. Our Allah, Allah who has created us and all things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under whose governance everything exists. Everything has been brought into creation by the might, by the glory, by the power, by the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All things have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all things will be terminated with the will and the qudrat, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the creation of mankind, the angels, the jinns, and mankind will continue to exist. The animals and the plants, heavenly bodies, the heavenly bodies and the earthly structures, the planetary bodies, all of them will be terminated by the hukum and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From existence, all things will be brought into non-existence. Such is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the entire creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heavenly bodies and the earthly bodies, planetary bodies, will not be questioned, will not be held accountable. The reason being because angel kind is totally innocent of all sin and all wrongdoing. They are totally submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not disobey a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In their characteristic, in their build, in their features, there is simply no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jinn creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, will be questioned, will be held accountable for their beliefs and their deeds in the world. If they have been believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them. They will be searched, in other words, for how they lived in this dunya. A record of their deeds will be presented. They will be questioned. They will be asked with regard to their beliefs and their practices, what they earned, how they lived, how they worked, what they did, what they did not do, how well they subjected themselves to Allah, to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the commandments, in our case, of Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Previous nations will be questioned with regard to their prophetic commands and injunctions, directions, teachings and practices. For example, the people of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will be questioned how well they obeyed him, with the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how well they obeyed him. The people of each of the other prophets, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, will be questioned as to how well they obeyed him or disobeyed him or were disloyal to him. And all the previous Nabi's and Rasul, 124,000, all of their ummahs, their peoples, their disciples, their practice, their followers, their nations, will because, and do bear in mind that Each prophet came to his particular tribe or his nationality or his people in whichever continent and whichever country among to whichever nation they came. Only one prophet is a representative of all the nations of the world. That was the universal prophet who came unto all of mankind, to all the nations of the world, black, white, yellow, brown, all the peoples of the world. That was Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We belong to the ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the universal prophet, and we will be held accountable as to how well we obeyed, how closely, how we submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we obeyed Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Quran Majid, which we are looking and examining here, And firstly, we send Darud and Salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have observed Salatul Maghrib Jama'ah, and we will follow this up with observing Salatul Isha with Jama'ah on the conclusion of this lesson on this Saturday evening here in Cape Town, in the country of South Africa. We are doing lessons on life after death. This is a repetition of the lessons which I did in 1981. And we started off this new version by looking at resurrection. What is this resurrection all about? Recreation, revival of life. There is a form of life in the qabr. There is questioning in the qabr, or munkar and nakir come. We are looking at that. Yes, there is a form of existence in the qabr. We are examining that. And then thereafter, on the day of resurrection, all of mankind will be resurrected, remade, restructured, revived. Life will be put back. In such a way, not like in the grave, but in such a way that those persons will stand out of their graves, they will dust off their clothing after having lain in their graves for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, only Allah knows for how long. And from there, they will be led by the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the mahshar, to the field of and the assembly, for the assembly of judgment. And from there, they will have to give an account of all their deeds in the world. We are examining in this particular chapter, which is the third part of the subject of resurrection. First, we look at what the Quran says about the resurrection. Secondly, we look at the responses of the people of Makkah Mukarramah and Arabia in general, and also previous nations, to when they were informed by their respective prophets that man will be resurrected, there will be a day of resurrection. How did the people respond in the time of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How did people respond? What was their answers? How they rejected the resurrection, and the reasons why they rejected the resurrection from the Quran. The hadith are still to come, but from the Quran, I've separated it. We will look at the hadith later, the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are looking and examining the Quran here. And the third section of the resurrection we are doing here is, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say as to Islamic belief about the resurrection? That is what we're busy with. So we have done several ayat, verses of the Quran Majeed. We commence by looking at another one. And I'm quoting all these and reciting all these verses of the Quran to make it very clear to all our Muslim brothers and sisters how important is belief in the resurrection. First reason is that the importance and significance of we as Muslims believing absolutely as a tenet of our faith, of our belief, of our iman, with conviction and yaqeen that we are going to be resurrected, there will be a day of resurrection, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us from our graves, and then we will be held accountable, we will be questioned about our deeds. The second reason is that because in this day and age, in the scientific materialistic society which exists around us, within us, and in our environment, and the materialist tendencies and secularist tendencies amongst the Muslim Ummah, especially, and the non-Muslimin in general, has clouded the mind of the Muslimin, the intelligence of the Muslimin, the observation of the Muslimins. And it has clouded their belief so that a certain amount of Muslims are beginning to question the resurrection. They are saying that there is no scientific evidence. They say we must have proof. If you as Muslimin believe that there is a day of resurrection when mankind will awaken from their graves, they will be made to rise from their graves, And then they will be led from their graves to the field of assembly, where judgment will be conducted, reckoning and accountability will be conducted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Where is the proof that such things are going to happen? First and foremost, prove to us that there is such a thing as it is feasible, it is probable, it is possible that man can be raised again after death. That is my second reason that I am laying so much emphasis. Understand that the Quran Majid is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the divine revelation received by Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. It is so pure, it is so perfect, that we Muslims do not even question the authenticity of the Quran Majid, or the words of the Quran Majid, or the verses of the Quran Majid. In that sense, we accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set out. And my third reason, the second reason, because many Muslims have begun to doubt and several have begun to question the possibility of a resurrection, that already is kufr. Yes, it is rejection of the words. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I command you to believe in the resurrection, in the ba's ba'd al-maut, then we must believe, without question. We do not have, we cannot, as the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the slave does not question the master. Allah is our master. Oh, Allah is not only our master, Allah is our creator, Allah is our sustainer, Allah is our owner. That's the second point. Third reason. The third reason why I am going at length with the matter of resurrection is that we have grown up in a secular society. We and our children give more prominence, give more importance, set more significance, give more prominence to the knowledge of the kuffar and mushrikeen. For us to achieve honors, high degrees from their schools, colleges, technicons and universities, their degrees is great honor. It brings great respect to Muslim families and Muslim households. This is very sad. We can have, but what happens is that it reduces the level of iman, it weakens the level of faith and belief of the Muslimin. We are plied daily with materialist and secularist points of view, as a result of which it has lowered and weakened our belief in the great, enormous, absolute and perfect power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Muslimin, the simple tenet of belief that Allah is all powerful, wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir, Allah is absolutely power over all things, we have reduced, lessened, lowered our belief in the absolute power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason many of us are saying, but how will we be brought back to life? Therefore we need to tension ourselves, and we need, so we are doing these lessons to bring to the fore the reasons, the proofs provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ah, such is the reasoning, such is the logic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't enforce belief upon us, O Muslimin. Allah does not say, I am compelling you to believe in the resurrection. No, otherwise Allah would have had the angels, would have whacked us we would have been punished, which is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh yes, we can be punished in the dunya, but Allah's mercy, Allah's grace is so perfect that Allah says, you decide, O man, O Muslim, you decide how you want to believe. In the beliefs held by Sayyidina Nabiyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikram, you decide, O Muslim. So with these points in view, I am also saying that, but the evidence that you are asking for, you are asking scientific evidence? Allah is providing you in the Quran, there is going to be a resurrection, and this is the scientific evidence, this is the evidence and the proof that you require, that will make sense to you. I am giving it to you in the Quran Majid. What more do you want? I have given so many reasons in the past two lessons on the resurrection where we are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muslim, I command you to believe in the resurrection because these are the proofs over and over again. I am not going to repeat it here. Those proofs are coming again in the Quran Majid from the beginning. How many ayat of the Quran Majid have I recited to you? Wherein is stated, how did I create you? Look at you, how I created you. Look at the world when there is a drought and there is no rain, how all the plants die, no grass grows, everything withers away. The trees die, the plants die, the earth dies. Do you not see? Then suddenly the clouds gather and the rain falls. What happens then? That earth comes to life. Oh, in the same way. In the same way. We talk about the Sahara Desert, the Namib Desert, so many deserts in the world. Tell me, if rain begins to fall over the desert, will it not flourish? Of course it will flourish. Of course grass will grow, of course trees will grow, of course greenery, and that same desert will become green by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that, I know that. That is our belief. Many people, the Karoo here in the Cape province is dry and barren. We drive through there when we go to Johannesburg or we go to Durban or we go to Bloemfontein. What happens? We drive through there, rain has fallen, a little bit of rain in the Karoo, which is a semi-desert arid region, and we find greenery flourishing there. I've driven to the Karoo when it was absolutely dry, nothing growing. Go now and the rains have fallen, it turns green. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh man, don't you see? What kind of evidence do you want? Is that not scientific evidence? Allah says, think a little further. Who brought the rain? You, O man, in your machinery that you have invented, did you start pressing buttons there? Or is it I that move the clouds and shift the clouds? Man, have you the power to shift the rain clouds and take it there? Look at Cape Town today. This morning was warm. Sun was shining brightly. Round about Zohar time, all of a sudden. And I remarked on this to my wife sitting there. I said, look at this. When we drove away from home towards town to do some shopping, it was bright, sunny, sunshine everywhere, warm. Now when we're returning after 3 hours, we're going back home, look at it. How huge is the sky above us? It has all been covered with rain clouds. How immense is it? How many thousands of immeasurable. The whole horizon over Cape Town had become dark within an hour. Within an hour. Was there some scientist pressing buttons there? Is it a human invention, man? Don't you think? We need rain. Our dams need rain. We have the whole summer lying ahead when hardly any rain comes. Who brought, who caused? You want scientific evidence that Allah revives the earth? Allah says, look, read the Quran, I'm giving you the evidence. And as I revive the earth, so I will bring you back to life. So what do we do? Our schools, our universities, our colleges, all the kuffar institutions that we attend, who teach that... Religion must be removed, God must be removed, faith must be removed from university subjects, school subjects, college subjects. Take religion out or remove it. So what happens? Our children go to these universities, they study there for how many, 10, 12, 15 years, and then they graduate and they become scholars and they become professors and they become doctors and lawyers and scientists and technologists and technicians and engineers. And what happens? Their belief lowers. They begin to question the resurrection. Can there be a life after death? How can there be life in the grave? They begin to question. Allah and Allah's Rasul says there is life after death. And we as Muslims begin to question. How can there be life after death? And Allah gives us the reasons. Allah provides us the evidence and the proof in the Quran Majid. Allah says, use your aql, use your reason. I have granted you intellect. Use your intelligence. Don't you see? Do you think the Quran is a non-scientific book? There is no book of truer science, scientific teaching than the Quran Majid, if we but pause and we listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the resurrection is a fact, it is a truth. O Muslimin, think, what have I been giving you for the last two lessons where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says resurrection will happen, it will take place? Oh yes, scientific evidence Quran supplies, it gives us. What have I been giving you? You don't have to go to university to graduate. You graduate here from this masjid. Or the Quran gives. Which graduation and success in graduation will give you Jannah? The one that comes from the Quran? The one that comes from Sayyidina Nabiyina Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Or the one that comes from the universities and the science laboratories and the installations that man has made? Can man shift the clouds? Can man move the sun? Can man move the planetary bodies? Can man make and create existences of the planetary bodies? What power has man got? No power. Man has even got power of himself. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Malak al-Maut, that man's time is up, that woman's time is up, go take out the ruh. Can man prevent it? No, nay. Man cannot prevent it. When your time is there for death, you go, you die. Man hasn't been able up till now to prevent death. What is the use of man? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O angel, that man must become sick. That man must recover. Allah has power and qudrat over all of us. When Allah says, let that man become blind, immediately that man is made blind, he becomes blind. Make that woman lame, paralyze her. That woman becomes paralyzed. Make that man insane, that human being becomes insane. Does man not see the power and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah governs everything in this universe. Must we Muslims be reminded about the power and qudrat of Allah? Or are we like the kuffar and the nasara and the yahood and all the non-Muslimin? Or do we also say, no, when we become sick, it is the physical body. That is a physical cause. Not Allah. It is a physical cause. Maybe we have eaten too much sugar, or we have eaten too many sweets, or we have indulged in this or that. The reason why we become sick is our own indulgences. No, we do not say it is from Allah. How many of us Muslims say this? Yes, we do. The true believers do. I better correct myself. No, the true believers do. The mu'mineen do, they understand it is from Allah. I'm talking in general about those Muslims who are skeptics, cynical, cynics, skeptics. You know what they say? We are the cause of sicknesses. When we become blind, we say, well, you know, the diabetes, the sugar level went so high, so we became blind. So the diabetes, the sugar content in the body is the cause of blindness. How many of us say it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, sugar does contribute. Yes. High levels of sugar contribute to blindness. But the blindness has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or suddenly a person's leg is, the doctor comes out and says, your leg must be amputated. So we say, well, the amputation is because I was involved in an accident. We do not say it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was involved in an accident. I was playing rugby and playing soccer and rugby. I was injured, and that cause is the reason why my leg is going to be amputated or my hand is going to be amputated. So what is the reason? The reason is me playing sports, or the reason is because I was involved in an accident. How many of us say that it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah, I said earlier, decides when our maut and our death will come. So who causes death? Are we going to say this man died because he was very sick? Oh, he was sick for such a long time. The sickness caused the death. How many of us say that he died because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see where our Muslim mind is going, horizontal. We are giving causes and reasons. That Muslim died in an accident. The accident is the cause of his death. Sickness is the cause of his death. Paralysis is the cause of his death. Really? Man, Muslim dies in a plane crash. The plane crash is the cause of the death. Really? Allahu astaghfirullah. Or is that by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has Allah decreed death? Or birth for that matter? Oh, married couples try to have a child. They married 1 year. They married 3 years. They married 5 years, 7 years, 9 years, 12 years, 20 years, no children. Some have no children, try as they might. They have intercourse every night. 10 years, 20 years, 50 years of married life, no children. They have had sexual relationship, but no children. So who decides which families, which couples must have children? Do you decide? You know what reasons they give? They say, no, there must be something wrong. There must be that there's too less sperms in the man. The woman says she's not producing eggs, so fertilization cannot take place. Do we say it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Very seldom. Another one gets married within the first year, the wife conceives. 1 year after marriage, they have a child. They have 10 children. You know, in the old days, 10, 20 children were nothing. Families used to have 20 children. A wife used to give birth to 5, 6, 10, 12 children. No problem at all. Healthy food, healthy environment, pure water. The air was pure. So we have dropped now. We are one child family, 2 children, 3 children. Lucky if we have 4 or 5 children, because the environment is totally polluted. There's too many poisons in the oxygen that we breathe. So we have less. And then what kind of children do we have? Very weak. Constitutionally, our children are weak. Where is this from? So what do we say? Environment is the cause of us not having children. Our health, sperm production, egg production is the cause why we have a very few children. Is that the reason? Or is it the decree? It is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslimin, we must learn this. This is what the Quran teaches us. Everything happens by the decree, the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter. We turn it to Allah. We say, Allah, you decide. Allah, you decree. Such people whose iman becomes strong, if we do not learn from the Quran, from these lessons, this one fact, which is everything turns around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is by the plan, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Draw these lessons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muslimin, you must believe in the resurrection. I will recreate you. I will revive you. After you have died, one day you're going to stand out of that grave. Oh, you'll stand up very much alive. And I will assemble you in my presence. And I'm going to question you. Who of us has a proof that it will not happen? Have we? Allah says so. Allah's Rasul says, yes, that is how it's going to be. Allah's Rasul says, this is what I believe in. My Allah has told us this. My Allah has said this. This is how we believe as Muslims. And we today want to question that? I was looking today at the lesson, how do the other religions believe in the resurrection? And I said, I want to do a lesson on it. And after I read it, studied it, researched it, I said, no, we don't have the time to go into that. We are going to look and examine only the Islamic version. Those of you who want to, you can read up and decide how resurrection is believed in by the Yahud and the Nasara and the Hindus and the Buddhists and other religions of the past, how they believed in it, and the present, how they believe in it. I don't have the time to go into all those things, for the Islamic version is the only one that matters for us. We don't want to look at the non-Islamic versions. It'll be theory for us. So let's proceed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, few ayat. I want to conclude this lesson on the third part of resurrection tonight. Which is the third part? What does Allah say in the Quran to us as Muslims, how we should believe in the resurrection? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَتْوَارًا أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجَكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Allah, beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nuh. Surah Nuh is Surah number 71. I have recited to you verses number 13 to 18. Surah Nuh, Surah number 71. The verses regarding resurrection, Islamic belief in the resurrection, is from verse number 13 to verse number 18. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the matter with you, O Muslim? Ma lakum, what is wrong with you? Oh, you human beings, man. You remember the Quran is addressed to all of mankind. I use the word Muslim in general because I'm addressing you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Quran is speaking to us. Mankind, oh mankind, what is wrong with you? What is the matter? Malakum, two words are malakum. What's the matter with you? Don't you see the truth? What is the matter with you, oh man? That you are not convinced of the majesty of Allah. Malakum la tarjuna lillahi waqara. Don't you see the greatness? Earlier when I started this lesson, I said, look at the heavens. Don't you see? In the morning, for 5 hours, the clouds above Cape Town were absolutely, the sky was clear, not one cloud. Within 1 hour, this huge cloud that you cannot measure was covered. All of a sudden, from somewhere, the clouds gathered and the whole horizon was darkened. All over, like the globe it is, the whole of Cape Town, at least around us here, this part of Western Cape, completely covered with clouds. And it turned from a bright, blazing day into a cold. And you know how the wind was blowing today? You could see the treetops. How they were shaking, how the leaves were shaking, how the branches were shaking. Powerful wind started altogether. How long? Within an hour. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh man, what is the matter with you that you do not see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supreme power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَتَوَارًا. And O man, one is Allah says, that you do not see, all around you is the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These huge trees, where do they come from? The wind, where does it come from? The clouds, where did they come from? The sky above you, where did it come from? The earth below you, where did it come from? Oh man, are you so blind? Allah said, Malakum la tarjuna lillahi wa qura, that you do not see the qudrat, you do not see the power, you do not see the greatness, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَتْوَارًا. And Allah has created you in so many phases. Look at yourself. What were you? A clot. From a clot, look at you now. What do you weigh? 100 kilos? 150 kilos? Some people weigh 200 kilos. Where did you come from? From one little piece of flesh. A zygote. Oh no, even before that you were only a sperm, a liquid drop. Look at you today. Look at you. Don't you see? And then look at you. It's you, how you are molded. Look at your physical structure. Allahu Akbar, look at the things you have within you. Oh, go up from piece to from head to toe, from toe to head. Look at how many components. Look at the constituents, your physical structure. How many things have I put into your body? Look around you. Look at that seed that you plant. And look at that huge tree. It comes from a seed. Oh, do you not see the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does Allah say? وَقَدَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَتْوَارًا. The Quran is beautiful, and Allah, the Quran is perfect, and Allah has created you in so many phases. You were a baby. Allah made you a little boy, a little girl. Then you grew a little older. And then even more, you came to middle age. Then you had two-thirds phases of your life, and then you became an old man or an old woman. You 60, 65, 70, 75, 80 years old. Who kept you alive? Allahu Akbar. Allah says, O man, do you not ponder about this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ تَرَوْ كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. Have you not seen how Allah has created the seven heavens in harmonious level layers? Up till now, scientists have not discovered this. Scientists have not discovered this. Oh, that there are seven heavens, seven layers, and the harmony between each one. They have not. They're still busy with our own planetary, with this one world in which we are. What about the world above us? They have not even discovered that. And the one above that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recall when he went into Mi'raj, he went from our planet, he went to the first Sama, and he had to ask permission. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Burak, you stop here. Stop here. He knocked on the door. That is how it's explained to us, so we can understand that there is a door there to enter the second heaven. Does man know about this? No, man has got a long way to go. I don't think even until Qiyamah will man discover all of these. At the first door, Burak, you stop here, says Jibreel. I cannot go any further. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amazed, and he looks at Jibreel alayhi salatu. Jibreel says, Oh my Rasul, you have to greet here to seek permission to go from the first heaven to the second heaven. He knocks on the door. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Assalamu alaikum, O the angels of the first heaven. I've come up to here. I seek your permission. Grant me permission to go through this doorway into the second heaven. The angels have already been given the instruction that when Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes, you must open the door for him to go from to exit the first heaven to enter the second heaven, and the door is open, and Jibreel alayhi salam that leads Rasulullah sallallahu through that doorway, call it corridor, through that corridor into the second heaven, where a Rasul of Allah, a Nabi of Allah is there doing duty, and the angels are there, and so it goes on, first, second, third, fourth, no, from the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and then the seventh heaven. How far away is the seventh heaven? Subhanallah. What I'm saying to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh man, do you not see how Allah perfectly has created the seven heavens in harmonious layers? كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ تِبَاقًا تِبَاقًا. One after, they don't crash, they don't fall. Don't you see the systematic layer upon layer, how well it has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh man, are you so blind? You do not see this wonder, this power, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا. Allah says, look at the solar system. Look how I have created, how I have built, how I have constructed the solar system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how Allah has made the moon a celestial light in them, and the sun a bright lamp in the heavens. Don't you see? Always Maghrib comes before Fajr. Ask Muslimin, the change of day is from Maghrib, from sunset, not from sunrise. So Allah subhanahu, don't you see that moon shining about? How beautiful is, who gave the brightness, the illumination to that moon? Who gave the light to the moon? And the sun? And the sunshine and the rays of the sun, who gave that power? Oh, where is the sun? Millions and millions of miles and kilometers away. And you can feel the light of the sun, the rays of the sun here on the planet. Subhanallah. Who did? Man, are you so blind? You did it? Did you do it? Did you give power to that sun to shine over you? Tell me, what would be your condition if you did not receive sunshine? Will you have plant growth in the world if there was no sunshine? Would the plants grow and flourish in the world if there was no moonlight? Would you have the phases of the sea, the tides, if it was not for that moon? Would you be able to make your calculate your calendar, your day and night, if it was not for the phases of the moon? Would you be able to calculate your months, your days? Allahu Akbar. Man, are you so blind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا. And then says Allah, and Allah has created you from the earth in a unique way. Oh man, do you not see what a miracle of creation you are? Subhanallah. وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجَكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا. Allah has created you from the earth in a unique way. Allah will then return you to the earth when death takes place, and then remove you from it in a profound way at the resurrection. Subhanallah, here comes the resurrection. Look how Allah first proves that the resurrection will take place. And then last year in Surah Nuh, ayat number 18, Allah says, "Summa yu'idukum fiha." When you die, I will put you. I have made you from this earth. When you die, I will put you back into this earth. People will bury you into that ground, into that earth. And then, وَيُخْرِجَكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا, and I will then take you out and then remove you from it in a profound way. In a profound way, I'm going to resurrect you. You cannot understand. Oh, but believe, when you see my power, you will know I can do it. I will resurrect you. This is the reality and truth of the resurrection. We are all created from this earth, but in a unique and matchless way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to reflect on the unparalleled and miraculous way in which we humans have been created, from liquid to clot, from clot to lump of flesh, from lump of flesh to bones, from bones to muscles, from muscles to organs and limbs, from organs and limbs to senses and faculties, from thence to births, to childhood, to youth, to teenage life, to adulthood, and thence to old age. Then we acquire the learning and skills to work in this world. After birth, as we grow, we acquire the learning and skills to work, to earn a living, and to make a living. Thereafter comes death. Do we think that this is the end of life? Allah has taken so much trouble, if I put it in human words, to make us and bring us so far, and then to finish, extinguish us, exterminate us, that be the end of life? You really think so? Do we think that death is the end of life? That there is no life after this life on earth? That there is no accountability for what we have done and how we have lived on this planet? That we have been set free and loose in the earth to do and to live as we please? Do we really think so? That there will be no questioning? We can do as much as we want to do? That we can do and murder people and kill people and rape people and rob people and murder people and go on committing as many crimes as we wish to, and banality, depredation, degradation, injustice, and that Allah is never our maker and creator is not going to question us about it? That we have been set free and loose on this earth to do and live as we please? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon us, O Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon us to look and study nature. That we should study our human selves also. What do we see and what do we learn? Are these heavens and the celestial bodies all a freak of nature with no maker and no creator? Look again. Do you discern a craft, a plan, and a design in nature, in the heavens above us, on this earth, in this earth? Do you detect a unique and matchless unity in creation? If you do, then know that one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the maker, creator, and sustainer of this universe and all that exists therein. So believe and worship the one maker and creator of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have been made of this earth and shall return into this earth upon inevitable death. But that will not be the end of our lives. We humans shall not become extinct. We shall not disappear forever. We shall all be returned to life in a zone and a dimension in which we no longer have any say or any order. The difference between life in this dunya and life in the akhirah, here we have all the say. But after death, finish. No more say. We have lost all our willpower completely. Oh yes, we shall all be returned to life in a zone and a dimension in which we no longer have any say or any will or any power. We will be resurrected and made to appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer for our beliefs and our deeds in this world where we lived as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us life. That re-emergence and reappearance is one every human being should be working towards with earnestness and sincerity of true belief and worship as a true worshipping Muslim mu'min. Next ayat coming up, and yet I will proceed faster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتَرَكَ سُدًى أَلَمْ يَكُنُ تَفَتًا مِّمَّنِي يُمْنَى ثم كان علقة فخلق فسوى فجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى.
Does man think that he will be left carefree in this life? Does man think he can enjoy himself? Do whatever he wants to, no questioning, no problem at all, enjoy yourself. Do what you want to do. You have absolute license. Oh, do you really think so?
Allah says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى.
Do you think you can enjoy your freedom in this world and do whatever you please? Believe or disbelieve? Bow and prostrate to Allah or bow and prostrate to idols? Do you think you are allowed? You permitted this? I, Allah, who have created you, will give you this freedom in the world?
Does man think that he will be left carefree in this world? Was he not a discharge of semen? What were you?
Alam yakun nutfatan min mani yumna.
Oh man, what were you? Where do you come from? Where do you originate from? Were you not a discharge of semen? After which Allah developed you into a clot of blood, and then Allah created you and perfected you.
Who? Allah. He created you. Faja'ala minhu
az-zawjayn. Allahu Akbar. Faja'ala minhu az-zawjayn az-zakara wal-unsa.
And then Allah made him of a pair of sexes. You became a male or a female.
Who made you male and female?
Allahu Akbar. The male and the female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيِيَ الْمَوْتَىٰ.
Has not such an all-powerful Allah the power to resurrect the dead?
Question Allah.
Allah provides the proof.
Then Allah says, do you think Allah does not have...
I brought you from a liquid, a drop of liquid I made you. Look at you today. Look at the ability I gave you. Look at the education I've given. Look at the knowledge I've given you. Look at the income I've given you. Look at the family I've given you. Look at what you are owning today. Look how I've made you, created you, and taught you, and trained. If I didn't give you the eyes, would you have been able to? If I did not give you the hands, would you have been able to do this, all this work that you do? If I had not given you the legs, would you have been able to move? If I did not give you this heart, would you have had heartbeat? Would you have been able to live? I gave you all this, man. Are you so blind that you are not thankful to me, that you do not recognize me, that you refuse to obey me?
Has not such Allahu Akbar alaysa dhalika biqadirin ala an yuhyiya al-mawta.
Has not such an all-powerful Allah the power to resurrect the dead? Surah Qiyamah, Surah number 75, verses number 36 to 40, Allah Ta'ala places on the intellectual faculty of man some very interesting observations about himself, which are pertinent and relevant. Firstly, is man aware that he has been created for a very high and useful purpose? Or does man think that he can live a carefree, uncontrolled, and notorious existence?
Or does man think he can live a carefree and uncontrolled, notorious existence according to his wishes and his fancy?
If he has been so carefully created, then surely his intellect should advise him to manage his life according to the instructions of his creator, his maker, one Allah. Is he so short-sighted that he cannot understand that much?
Fourthly,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks man that if he is not free to do as he pleases and there are constraints and restrictions placed on him by his creator and his maker, and if the miracle of his birth and gender structure are anything to go by, then does he assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created him, who gave him life, who sustained him, who provided him all the earthly and heavenly conveniences for him to live in, would not be able to resurrect him, to bring him back to life and to raise him from the dead?
Is that what he thinks?
Allah can't raise him? So much Allah has done. There's the proof. You ask for scientific proof. What kind of proof do you want? If that is not scientific evidence, what is scientific? All this is provided to you.
Allahu Akbar.
If his thought tells him
that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do so, then he should examine his life, look deeply, reflect upon his life and his origin and himself, and install himself as a true believing Muslim mu'min who submits to the Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat, to the Quran and the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do so, then he should examine his life, look deeply into it, and install himself as a true believer who submits to the Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat. Next ayat coming up is as follows, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا يَزُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَزِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do such people who commit sin, wrongdoers, sinners, Allah speaking to them, أَلَا يَزُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Do such people who commit sin not consider that after death they will be raised again, they will be resurrected unto an awful day, the day of Qiyamah? أَلَّا يَزُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. On a mighty day, they will be raised and brought back in the presence of Allah. Does man really think that Allah has created you so beautifully, so miraculously Allah made you? Now you want to enjoy yourself in the world, do whatever sins you want to do, live an immoral and decadent life in this dunya, and you will have no, there's no payback. You think your Allah created you for the purpose, in other words, to commit as much sin as you wish to, and to live an immoral and decadent life as you wish to? Do you think there will be no answerability, no accountability, no time to pay back, no payback time? Do you really think so? Allah's question, Allah yazunnu ulaika annahum mabawsoon. Allah will let you go. Allah will not raise you again. Allah will not raise. Do you think Allah does not have the power to resurrect you, bring you back to life after death? Liyawmin azim, on a powerful day, the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is going to bring you back to life. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The day when all of mankind will be brought into the presence of Allah, sustainer of the universe, for accountability. How clear is the Quran? Oh, you will all be brought. Don't think for a moment. Kafir, mushrik, munafik, believer, non-believer, atheist, agnostic, all of you, Christian, Jew, Yahud, Hindu, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, whoever you are, all of you will be brought in my presence. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Lord of the worlds, the creator, maker and sustainer of the universe, Surah Mutaffifin, Surah number 83, verses number 4, 5 and 6 I recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse of the inevitability of both resurrection and judgment, the one following upon the other, and both being inescapable. What freedom and independent, what freedom and independence does man have after death? Oh, in the dunya you want to run around and do whatever you pleases you? You think after death you can run around? You can decide whatever you want to? You think you can commit as many sins as you want to after death? What freedom do you have? Consider. Think. There's a life after death. And consider whether you want to be in peace after death, or you want to suffer the severity of punishment. You decide. Does he have any say in deciding his fate beyond death? Does man think that he shall not have to account for his sins and his misdemeanors in the life of the world? Life comes with strings attached and conditions and rules and regulations, and that is obedience to one's Rabb, one's sustainer, one's provider. Man will not be let off the hook if he disobeys the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he will be made to serve the sentence meted out to him by the merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse reminds us of our obligation, of our duty, and non-adherence to the command of Allah ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have to be accounted for on the day of resurrection, which no man, no human being will be able to accept. Next ayat coming up. As I said, I want to conclude this lesson today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, we've got two verses left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regard to Muslim belief in the resurrection, إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Verily it is Allah who created the first time, and it is Allah who created you the first time, and it is Allah who will create you again. The resurrection, Allah subhanahu, innahu huwa yubdi'u. Allah created you the first time in your mother's womb. Who created you in your mother's womb? Who made you in your mother's womb? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created you the first time. Wa yu'id, Allah will recreate you, Allah will resurrect you, Allah will, after you have died, Allah is going to bring you back to life. Innahu wa yubdi'u wa yu'id. Allah made you the first time, created you the first time. Allah will make you again, create you again the second time. Wa huwa al-ghafurur wadud. And Allah is the most forgiving and all-loving. O Muslimin, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even now it is never too late. If you have been thinking wrong, if you have been denying the resurrection, if you have been thinking there is no accountability and no life after death, then even now, make tawbah, seek the forgiveness of Allah, seek the mercy of Allah. Because if you have been wrong, you can put it right. Let these lessons be an inspiration to you. If you have any doubt in the life after death, in life in the grave, in life at the time of resurrection, in presenting oneself and coming in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability, wa huwa, and that Rabb, and that Allah who created you, who will revive you, who will resurrect you. Oh yes, wa huwa al-ghafurul wadud. That is a loving Allah. That is a merciful Allah. Zul Arshil Majid. That is Allah. He is the owner of the Arsh. From where Allah, Allah's power, Allah's, from the Arsh it comes. Allah's will, Allah's qudrat, Allah's decree. Where does it come from? Allah's ordainment. Where? Allah rules from the Arsh of Allah. Allah says, this throne of mine. Turn to it. Beg, beseech the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zul arshil majid, fa'alul lima yurid. Oh, Allah wants to forgive you. No matter what you have done, Allah can forgive you. Fa'alul lima yurid. Turn lovingly, compassionately. Beg and beseech the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive you. Muslimin, this is, I brought this ayat towards the end. Turn to Allah. Surah Buruj, Surah number 85, verses number 13 to 16. Innahu huwa yubdi'u wa yu'id, wa huwa al-ghafurul wadud, zul arshil majid, fa'alul lima yurid. Allah can forgive. Allah can do whatever Allah wishes. So turn to Allah penitently, with repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the last ayat in this resurrection of chapter, third chapter of the Quran Majeed, of our lessons at the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in kullu nafsil lamma alayha hafidh, فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقَ خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ السُّلْبِ وَالتُّرَائِبِ إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرِ يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. Allah says, There is no soul but has a guardian and an angel appointed over it, keeping record of all the deeds. Allah says, watch out, be careful, O Muslim. There is an angel, there are two angels recording in everything you do, whether it is in daylight or in darkness, whether you do it in public or in solitude. Don't ever think Allah is not watching over you. Don't ever think that the malaikas are not recording what you are doing. Allah says, in kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafidh. The hufaz, the hafiz, the watchers, the guards. Your security guards are with you. What do? Every deed you do, they record. There is no soul, no body. There is no soul but has a guardian angel appointed over it who keeps a record, records all the deeds. So let man consider from what he is created. Oh, think about it. What are you? What are you? Today you think you are king, you wealthy, you rich, you millionaire. You can do whatever, you proud, you arrogant because you have power, you're a chairman, you're a director. You're a millionaire, multimillionaire, billionaire. You are a prime minister, a president, you are a, you think you're very powerful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so let man consider from what he is created. Where do you come from? Where do you originate from? Allahu Akbar. فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, man, do you know, woman, do you know where you come from? Allah says, let me tell you, let me remind you where you come from. Oh, you boastful, proud and arrogant man. Oh, you boastful, proud and arrogant woman, full of ego, thinking you can do in the dunya whatever you want to. Allah says, let me tell you, I am your creator and maker. Let me tell you where you come from. You are created from a gushing fluid, semen, which issues forth from between the backbone and the breasts. Verily, Allah has the power to bring him back, to bring you back to life, to resurrect you on the day when secrets will be disclosed. When and where, he will have no strength and no helper. Allah says, you know how I have created you? The mother and the father get together. Mother and the father have what? The husband and the wife, and the married couple, when they indulge in sexual relations, what happens then? Then that is where you come from. The man produces the semen, the woman accepts it, takes it in, and that is how the egg is released and the fertilization process takes place. The zygote is born, and then from there, from that drop of liquid eventually, that is where you come from. And you know what? Your parents had to go and have ghusl. Oh yes, they had to have ghusl. For you come from what? I have made you from what? Do you know what you are? Do you know where you come from? Today you think you are a big lord, you are a big master, a director, a rich and wealthy man. You have thousands of people working for you. No, you are nothing in my book. In my record, man, woman, you are nothing. If you do not accept me, if you do not believe in me, if you do not bow and prostrate to me, if you do not obey the Rasul I've sent for your guidance, Muhammadur Rasulullah, if you do not believe and follow the commandments of the Quran, if you do not follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah, if you do not believe in the Akhirah, in Jannah, and Jahannam, and in the day of resurrection and reckoning, what are you? Nothing. In my book, says Allah, you are nothing. My recording, angels are recording, and they will come on the day of resurrection. You know what your position will be on the day of Qiyamah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innahu ala raj'ihi laqadir. I can make you, I can remake you, I can recreate you, I can resurrect you. Yawma tubla sarair. On the day when secrets will be disclosed. Oh, you think you have got many secrets? You've hidden yourself and done so many wrong things, so many misdemeanors, so many sins you create. When you made zina, you thought nobody knows you made zina. When you killed people, murdered people, you thought nobody knows. Oh, you were the president of a country and you gave instructions, bomb those people, kill those people, shoot those people. Innocent people, you gave instructions and you thought you were going to get scot-free? Taking innocent lives. Who gave those people lives? You never gave those. Who gives you the rights that you have authority over people's lives? of their lives and their death, that you at the press of a button or by giving a command, you can tell your soldiers, you can tell your army to kill people? Are you God? Are you Lord? Are you creator? Are you sustainer?
Oh, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yawma tubla sarair. People will be shocked. They will think Allah doesn't know. Allah doesn't know on the day of judgment, and they will be trying to hide away facts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will open it up for them. Oh yes, look at this. Yawma tubla sarairu fama lahu min quwwatin wala nasir. In the dunya he had so many properties, so many buildings, so many factories, so much wealth stored in the bank. On the day of Qiyamah, in other ayat of the Quran which I'm not giving you, they will tell Allah, they will seek to ransom, they will offer a ransom to, and they did in the dunya, to try and blackmail, to bribe Allah. Yes, I'm using those words. Look it up in the Quran. At some stage, they will try to bribe Allah. They will offer a bribe to Allah. They will say, oh Allah, what is it you want to set me free? I now realize I should have worshipped one Allah. I should have been Muslim. I should have been mu'min. And the Muslims that will be there who denied the sunnah of Rasulullah or denied and rejected any of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what they would say? Oh Allah, I got so much wealth, I got so many properties, what can I offer you? Oh Allah, I am prepared to offer you all my properties. I've got millions and billions stored in the bank. Oh Allah, they will be thinking in terms of dunya. Oh Allah, I'm prepared to write out one check. I will give you all my money, I will give you all my money, I will give you all my wealth, I will give you all my properties. No response. Silence on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what they will do there? In the Quran it comes, Rasulullah, we are still going to do those ahadiths. You know what man will do there? Man will say, oh Allah, I am prepared to ransom my entire family, my wife and my children, so that you can free me. That man, imagine, is prepared, that woman is prepared to offer her own family, his own family to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sacrifice the wife and children. And the wife is prepared to sacrifice her husband and children to obtain their freedom and forgiveness and mercy, to obtain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how the low grade to which man will fall on the day of Qiyamah. Anyway, here it is, we're ending off. Oh yes, on that day your secrets will be revealed, says Allah. When and where? On that day man will have what? فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. No strength will man have. He'll be totally nothing. He will be nothing. He will have no power, no strength, no say, no property, no money, no wealth. Yes, and no family also. What are you offering me your family for? Your family is no longer, in the dunya they were your family, here they belong to me. I created them, not you. So you have no power here, no power at all whatsoever. The bribery you're offering, no use. Don't try and blackmail me. Allahu Akbar. And wala nasir, nobody to help you. Oh, the people who helped you there, Jesus died on the cross, crucifixion. Where is the Jesus that will help you? In the ayat of the Quran, actually, when the Christians call upon Jesus, they will say, Jesus will help me. We believed in him. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, that's we're going off the lesson. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will come up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, this conversation, this interview between Allah and Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wa salam is recorded in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Isa! Did you tell your people this Christmas? Did you tell them that you died for their sins on the cross? You shed your blood for their sins? Allahu Akbar. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his first response and answer, oh Allah, you know better than I do. In other words, oh Allah, you know the truth. You know the truth. Why must I tell you? Oh Allah, you know. You know. Oh Allah, you know what I said and what I did not say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh Isa, speak, say, make your speech.
Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will then say, "Oh Allah, I never ever said such a thing to my people." And you know what will happen? The millions of priests that are gathered there, all the papacy and all the high priests, all of them will hang their heads in shame. And the Christian people will want to drown themselves on that day in shame and in humiliation and in utter disgrace. That is even given in the Quran. Oh yes, and there will be a whole millions of Muslimin who that will stand there, and you know what they will say? Our awliyas, our karamat, they will save us on this day. And what will happen to those who believed in this karamat and these awliyas, whom they will hold? We did sin, but they are going to save us because they were the people who were the friends of Allah. So the friends of Allah will save us, and we will thus receive forgiveness for our sins. No such thing. Oh, on that day their punishment will be very severe. Man's creation clearly underlines absolute will and power. Oh yes, this what I recited is from Surah Tariq, Surah number 86, verses number 4 to 10. Man's creation clearly underlines the absolute will and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the lack of say of man in these matters, which are in the realm of the unknown, about which only Allah ta'ala knows, and the true believers accept through divine revelation. As such, the Quran is a word, the kalam of Allah, and Muslims accept the resurrection on the basis of the noble word, pure word, perfect word, and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala has created us from nothing in a miraculous way, and we see this evident in ourselves and in all that surrounds us, then why should it not be possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us and raise us up again from our graves? Yes, we accept that there is going to be accountability and judgment, and all of us will have to give reckoning of our beliefs and deeds, which are monitored by the Kiram and Katibin angels. This will certainly happen after the resurrection, which all of us accept without hesitation. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We have concluded.